I'll make the motion.
All in favor? Opposed? Carry. Motion to approve the payment of bills from the April 27th and the May 9th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carry. Public comments. Peter?
Yes. Thank you. I have some comments about the rental situation. But first, concerning the fire at 144 Main, of course, the request I had made year and a half ago about having fire extinguishers within a kitchen X number of feet from open flame cooking unit was defeated. And I raised this safety feature check, as it is pretty standard in a lot of places, but apparently not. So my question is, did 144 House, did that pass the rental inspection? And had a fire extinguisher been there, would it have made a difference in the damage and dislocation that resulted from the damage? So let me bring up about the rental unit inspections. What is being reported are tenancy inspections. As far as I can tell from the reported information, there are, on average, 5 per month. Some months, of course, there is no CEO report. The comprehensive plan calls for monthly building inspector reports. Now, of the 452 structures in the village, according to the Cultural Resources Survey, and this includes 29 that were not evaluated, so I'm estimating from that 452, about 20 of them do not involve housing. So that leaves 432 structures in the village that are housing, and if you take 60% of those as being rentals. Now the range, as we know, of rentals in the village, single units to 4 or even more units. But I'm just taking 2 units on average per structure. So that would mean there'd be 518 rental units as distinct from properties, actual units, 2 per property. So at 5 inspections per month, that's going to take you 104 months, or 8.6 years, to do just the initial inspection. No consideration for reinspection of failed units, no consideration for multiple inspections for units vacated after less than 1 year. So despite the Village Ordinance Number 1 of 2020, that requires inspection, little has been achieved. We have no data on the number of units inspected versus properties inspected. We have no data on the time required to inspect. We have no data on re-inspections due to failed first inspections. Now, 3 members of this board have served as trustees for a cumulative period of about 40 years. Various efforts during this time have put paint on some buildings at taxpayers' expense. And as they say down in East Texas, you can put lipstick on a hog, but it's still a pig. So I have some specific recommendations. The village currently uses the township, county, and state services. DPW calls upon them when needed. The sheriff and state troopers are assisting with the drug problem. DSS is active here. The County Department of Health steps in. And obviously the fire departments from around the township areas in the county step in and help. I'm asking the trustees that you consider a SWAT team of state licensed building inspectors. Use your political connections with the township and the Board of Supervisors. Seek state assistance. We're nearing a crisis level with the fires, substandard housing, and public health threats from the accumulated trash that's around a number of these buildings. Many of the rentals come with federal and or state subsidies. Taxpayer dollars are going directly to certain landlords owning multiple buildings. The lack of implementing and enforcing Philmont's ordinance only enriches these owners. So again, I call upon you to consider a SWAT team asking for BOS and state assistance in bringing in, so we don't wait 5.6 years just to have one inspection done of these rental units. The shabby appearance dissuades business investment, tourism, and lowers property values. Inaction is not a solution. A SWAT team of building inspectors is a practical solution. Thank you for your consideration. Given the seriousness of this problem, I'm sure we're all aware of it, but we need to see action.
Thank you. Jeff?
Nice job, dude. I'm here on two different items. First of all, Memorial Day is right around the corner. As we know, in a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating our 73rd year of memorial services here in the village. And hopefully everyone has noticed today what has happened on Main Street. The hometown banners have been put up. Half of them have been put up, I should say. And I hope you take your time and maybe walk the street, or when you're driving down the street, take a look at them and see if you can remember some of those names and faces of our past veterans on that. On behalf of the Legion, I'd like to thank the Village Board for letting the Town of Clover come in with a payloader to help the Village employees this morning and this afternoon to put up those banners. It was a great help when the payloader can come on and lift it right on down the street. Steve Sider and his crew, congratulations again. Thank you for the help, and I know you'll be here for the next couple weeks for us also. Memorial Day, I have reached out to the three major TV stations here in the Capital District, and they all have been contacted, and I've asked them to please come for a Memorial Day service, and to maybe Channel 10 could come down with their weather car and do the weather report here in Philmont on Memorial Day. Remember last year, Channel 13 was here at 6 o'clock. The whole 6 o'clock news was taken on Main Street at the Memorial Park, which was nice. So we'll see what happens with that. I just want to give you a heads up in case you want to speak with somebody from the village. I don't know if that's going to happen. Just to reach out to somebody. I need to reach out to somebody at that point. It might be 5:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning or wherever it is, but I want to give you a heads up on that. We're trying to promote Memorial Day here in the hometown banners. We have 70 plus banners, and probably by the end of Memorial Day, we'll have 100, because I'm sure when people see, well, why is my uncle's picture there? Why? Well, that's been my father. We never forgot about him. So we'll probably pick up some more, and we'll wait till next year to add them to the polls that we have now. So Main Street will be covered. We're doing Summer Street, Maple Avenue, and a couple other spots. You'll find them on also. The other thing is I'm bringing up is the Airbnb that I just read here in the minutes. I'd like to know some more information about that, how that's going to affect our village. You know, I'm in favor of Airbnb process here in the village. And is there going to be a tax on the Airbnb residents, the homes where the Airbnb are at? There's going to be a special tax on that. Third thing is I'm still questioning about the cameras on Main Street. Are they up and running? I was here several months ago, and I know there was still working to get them in line, but we're paying each month rental on the cameras. Hopefully, they're up and running. So if there is any vandalism here with the new banners or any other vandalism going on Main Street, that those cameras can catch those villains that they're trying to destroy our village one piece at a time. One other thing I'd like to bring up is I read that Philma is receiving a grant for $15,000. Is that correct? A new grant coming in for a study to paint the buildings on Main Street? Is that true? Nobody knows about it.
So, PB Inc., it's not about painting buildings. And in reply to Mr. Johnson's statement, painting facades of the Main Street grant is a very small fraction of it. So we have a grant for $20,000, not $15,000, and that entire amount of money plus $1,053, which PB Inc. provides from our general funding as a match, goes to hire a consultant, which we put an RFP out to hire, and that consultant will be an architectural firm. And the architectural firm's scope of work is to go through 13 buildings, and of which 9 we already have participation from property owners, but our total aim is 13. To be able to go through those buildings with each private property owner, they're only commercial and mixed use. Right? They're not private residents, they're not under the criteria. So the architect is to go through those buildings to be able to do an architectural assessment of all of the things that are happening in that particular building, code-wise, repair-wise, and then produce an assessment and also a cost estimate, so that we know how much it's going to cost to be able to renovate the next 13 buildings that we have in our sites for our Main Street program. And I just want to reinforce that the Main Street program is not about painting buildings. When we go in, the primary work that we do is code work to bring these buildings up to code. And the buildings that we have worked with, 23 buildings that we've completed, do include facade painting, but it's not a Texas situation. What was that? Lipstick on something hard? On a hard basic or something. But the main PB Inc.'s Main Street program is not about that. It's actually about bringing the buildings that we work with up to code. We've replaced heating systems, water systems, floorboards, baths, you know, that were falling through floorboards. And what you see on the outside is perhaps 5% of the work that we actually do in each of these buildings. Just so Mr. Johnson's clarified on that, it's not about, you know, painting a building. That's right. Not what we do.
Because one other time, years ago, that the village received a very large grant to paint all the buildings on Main Street. Face, left-hand side, right-hand side. And
how long ago?
Mr. Speed was the mayor at that point. I'm going to say it was a good 8 to 10 years ago, and they never used that grant, and they had to send the money back to
the village.
The village had to send money.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with PBA.
Okay, I just want to.
Yeah,
this grant will be in working progress.
Yeah, and actually, you know, any property owner, it's gone out there. You know, it's on our website. We've sent out the RFP. And we've also been advertising that to any property owner that on the Main Street that owns either a commercial building or a mixed-use building. That's been up on our website since first week in February to send in. And we worked with 9 primary property owners last year, and we visited each of the buildings. So we've been working on it for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, I'm running right now. So she's done talking.
I'm at 20.
Yeah. Just to clarify, Jeff, we never sent a grant back for painting the buildings. The grant that was sent back was the Ellsworth Street grant. Only because that was set up for a business incubator, and the building that was purchased by the village for the business incubator had asbestos in it. And there wasn't enough money in that grant to abate the asbestos and make the building whole. So the grant money was sent back. But out of that grant money that was sent back, we did put the wall up to the community center. And we did some, we bought the building with that grant, which later then the village sold and put the money back in the coffers. There was, I think it was like $230,000 that was sent back. But there was never a grant sent back because we didn't paint the buildings.
Right.
We never got a grant to paint the buildings.
Right, thank you for the clarification.
That was probably more like 20 years ago.
It was, had to do with the comprehensive plan with that first.
Yeah.
And the comprehensive plan was first written.
It was 20.
And then the LDC was started after that. And the LDC is the one that got the grant.
Yeah.
And the LDC is the one that bought the building on Ellsworth Street.
What's the LDC?
LDC is a local development committee.
Okay.
Which doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist anymore.
All of which had nothing to do with you then.
No, Sally didn't have anything to do with that.
Nothing to do with us.
That was mostly the committee that put together the comprehensive plan.
Correct. Thank you.
And most of which, I think there's only two of us left.
Correct.
In the village that put the first comprehensive plan together.
Actually.
Alive or living in?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Alive or living in the village?
Living in the village.
Living, nobody's died.
Yes, Nancy.
Oh, Nancy Bruce.
Nancy and.
Correct.
And Tom. And Tom.
Tom Holtalen and Jesse Filer moved away.
Jesse Filer went to Plattsburgh.
And Christine Friello doesn't live here anymore.
Correct.
So.
And none of that had anything to do with you.
No, did not. You're out of the.
God, that we should be shouldering that.
You're off the hook on that one, Sally.
Thank you, Bart. Nice to hear. But thanks for setting the record straight.
Michelle?
All right, first I would like to stand and know what the protocol is, but first I would like to thank the mayor and everyone on the board for everything they do for the village. I appreciate it and I very much appreciate it. But I wanted to speak about short-term rentals. I know this is a hot topic. And respectfully request that the board of trustees refrain from passing any regulation until there's some sort of comprehensive plan in place that takes into consideration the unique facts and circumstances of the village of Philmont. I believe I bring a unique perspective to the issue. I'm a short-term rental owner. I'm a property on Van Street. I know there's issues surrounding short-term rentals, there's concerns about affordable housing. I think short-term rentals are a good thing for the village in general. I think in some cases, as in our case, we actually provided affordable housing, low-income housing for tenants that are not Section 8 or DDS as a function of the Airbnb unit that we do have available. I think we should consider as a village that is a potential revenue stream going forward, and I think we should be focused on something more bigger issues that we have, some of the less savory landlords in the village, and there's a limited amount of enforcement that we can, there's a cost to it. I think we should be focusing our time and effort on those properties that are problematic today, not on the five Airbnb units, right? So I feel like that unfairly discriminates against a very small number of property owners in the village. For the most part, that keep the property in very good condition and are good members of the community. And I have any questions about what it's like to be a short-term rental owner? We've never had any problems. Our neighbors appreciate we employ people in the village. And I think it's, at this stage, to put any restrictions would really prohibit and prevent the revitalization and the progress the village has made since we first bought here.
What about if the restriction was you have to live in the village to have a short-term rental?
So the one building we have right now, where we have one Airbnb unit, we don't live there. We live in Mellonville, a couple of houses out of the village. So that would prevent that particular building from being an Airbnb. And I can tell you, we have three tenants that pay well below market, and two that are well below would be deemed affordable housing. And if there's a restriction, we basically would have to bring everyone up to market. So that one unit subsidizes the three tenants that we have that are good people that work in the village. It's it would be problematic for us, and it would just make us revisit what our business plan is, but right now it's it works in a way that enables us to give back to the community.
But we in fact did have the special workshop on short-term rentals. You're gonna give the report on that? What?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the trustees are going to, they gave me some of their thoughts and ideas, and we're gonna put together a draft law for them to review, and then it'll circulate after that.
Okay.
So it's preliminary at this point.
And what I would ask is for people to have an opportunity to provide feedback, because even just discussions around potential, we've had at least two guests, we call them guests and hosts, they're guests, who have gone in the village after they stayed. Full-time residents, primary residents, and they're moving here. And I think it brings, you know, people go to the pub, people go to Local 111, and I think, and want to invest longer term in the village, because Vermont's great. And you have these younger people who are coming here or visiting their kids that live in the village. And I think closing that door or restricting that in any way is just foolish at this point in where Vermont is. And absolutely, let's revisit that. But I mean, not to mention any landlords by name, but there's certain people who under-maintain their properties, who take advantage of the system. It's my opinion. But if those laws were enforced, what it would do, it would force people to force those unsavory, it's called unsavory landlords, to either sell at reasonable price or to put the capital investment into their properties. That's well needed. It's easy to under-invest, spend no money, not make your unit safe. And then on that map, you're basically, you're never going to sell at a reasonable price, and those units will continue to be how they are, and they're just going to let them get demolished through neglect, which we see on Main Street, fires, unsafe living conditions, kids falling out of windows. It makes me sad, right? And there's no rationale behind that, and I think that's where we should be focusing on enforcement, not on people coming and backing out Local 111 and buying houses in the village. It's my view.
As soon as the draft is ready, and if we decide to take action on anything, there has to be a public hearing so everybody gets to come and talk and voice their opinions after they have had enough time to read the draft.
I know there's a lot of discussion around this comprehensive plan. The village is planning, and you guys are looking for committee members, and I think that's key. Like, what's the proper mix? Where are we trying to go longer term? And I think that at that, you know, once that's in place, it's a more reasonable time to put in regulation that basically reflects that comprehensive plan and where the board sees the village going in 10, 15 years from now. But today, even the width of that can scare people from wanting to buy and invest in the village. And I think we should try to put it into the best we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reports of committees. Mr. Fitzsimmons.
Just ongoing projects. As we've discussed, short-term rentals are up for a draft law and further discussion. Just to answer the one question, the village does not have the ability to tax short-term rentals. Only the state can give the authority to tax. And at this point, counties and cities have that authority. Towns and villages do not. So this board cannot adopt a special tax on short-term rentals. And then, as the board knows, the Woods public hearing is now scheduled for May 17th before the planning board. That's an ongoing large project.
7 o'clock?
7, yes. That's it.
Clerk Treasurer's report. I would like everybody to recognize Jessica Thomas. She's our new clerk treasurer. Stop in the office and say hi to her. Be nice, please.
You're supposed to stand up and take a bow.
Yep. All documentation. All documentation was submitted to the county for changes to the tax roll, including certification, the tax warrant, property transfers, and address changes. Any property transfers and address changes were also updated in the water sewer program. All office staff took mandatory sexual harassment and workplace violence training. Met with Rich Nesbitt to review annual village insurance policy. There's been a noticeable increase in property transfers, and we have been speaking with multiple attorney offices to supply them information for closings and coordinated with the DPW to obtain final meter readings. There's been a definite increase in residents who come in the office for information or to pay bills, including increase in garbage sticker sales. Updates were made to the master payroll sheet with any changes for fiscal year of 2022-2023 for payroll and village use. Tax bill will be mailed out at the close of the day on May 31st. They are due by July 1st without penalty, and office will be closed on Monday, May 30th, in observance of Memorial Day.
Thank you. Nice job for your first one. Building inspector, you want to read that, Larry?
Yep.
Building department, monthly report, March and April 2022, tenancy CO issued 6, tenancy inspections 6, rental registration issued 4, building permits 6, construction inspections 2, COCC issued 5, CO searches 17, complaints received, investigated. Monty Gentine handles these, he does not report to me. Zoning review, referral of new projects, no new projects. Village of Philmont, code enforcement, Lee Heim.
Can I see Toby walking?
Yeah.
You're up.
So, buildings and grounds, we were waiting for the insurance company, we did not get the approval from the insurance company for the asbestos removal. They have denied the claim, but we still need to do the work. TJ Bell's estimate came in around $9,000, but on top of that, there's a $2,500 charge for the air quality test before and after. They are available to start on Monday, as long as I get approval that from you guys tonight. The $3,000 from the insurance company for the stolen items in October has been received, and those items have been repurchased. Services, we just started a seed library through a partnership with a program called Library of Local, which is part of the Hudson Library System and the Hudson Valley Climate Action Network or something like that. So we have had at least 12 patrons, probably 13 at the moment, take out seeds from the library, and we also have a large collection of books that they've provided as well. In turn, we are expected to do two programs within the year, and along with PB Inc. and the Victory Garden, we're going to be doing a series of programs. In order to start one in last month as a potato bucket workshop, and we had 15 attendees and 9 buckets for 3 years. This month was the 1 year anniversary of our tool shed library, and we've had about 11 items borrowed for a total of over 50 times, 50 checkouts. So we find that extremely successful. Upcoming programs in May, we're doing a moonwalk with the Columbia Land Conservancy on May 16th at 7:30. We'll be meeting at Summit Lake. There's a missing spot here, which is that same night. There's a program at 6 o'clock, which is a virtual program with a group in Columbia County doing a talk about climate smart, some program with New York State. I'm sorry, I forgot the paperwork. And I gave it to both Deborah and Tom to let them know about the program so they could share it with the Climate Smart Action Group here in the town. It's going to be online. You can find the link on our website. I think the $15,000 from the town of Clavrock was last time, so I apologize for that. $1,500 has been approved as an award from the Green County Council on the Arts, but we have not received a check yet. And that it is a little bit more than half of what you applied for, so we have to decide of the two programs that we asked for, are we going to do one or the other, or do a portion of both. We did not have our board meeting on Wednesday because 2 board members out of the 5 were in different locations, and then 2 were exposed to someone who was sick, so we had to end up canceling our meeting. So some of the things that we intend to talk about, we do not get to. The museum pass program that we have with the Columbia County Library Association is in its second year. We just completed new museum pass brochures. We have put them in a few locations around the village. I gave some brochures to both McMahon's and the co-op, and I believe we have some here at the village as well. People come in and absolutely love being able to print the passes on demand. I've also been training as a digital navigator with the Mid-Hudson Library System. We actually have to be approved and receive a grant in order to do that for the extra hours that it takes for the training, and not only training, but also bi-monthly meetings that we have to attend. And that training has been for myself and staff to be able to help patrons and community members on finding affordable internet and ways that they can get there's a federal program that they can get $30 towards their internet. So we've had at least two people so far come in and find out how to do that. There's criteria and what you need to do. We've put a flyer in Richardson Hall because a lot of the residents there will be able to use that. And also there's ways that we can find people to find low-cost devices as well, and also just a regular digital literacy. So there should be posters around the village, especially in the post office, letting people know that we are a site that can help people with that. And one really important thing is anybody who has a child in the Taconic Hill School District, because they get free lunch for every child in the district, those people automatically qualify for that $30 discount on their internet, and it goes directly to the internet provider, so that's not like a reimbursement. It would be a $30 discount on the internet provider. So
on that asbestos,
mm-hmm.
Do we need three estimates on that, or do
it's a professional service, so you don't have to?
And I think it was also part of the what was voted on in February as the emergency work that needed to be done.
Okay. Why didn't the insurance company cover that?
They said it had something, and I thought I sent it to Trish. It had something to do with the, it was water damage and not fire or heat or something else. I know that I have also contacted Donna at the insurance company, and they were supposed to also be kind of fighting for us for that, because it's through NYMA.
Okay.
I was a little annoyed that they waited 3 months to give us the decision.
And Johnny Walker,
when the incident happened.
So, all right. And you got somebody ready to start when?
Monday. TJ Bell. And I think the other company is Spectrum.
We have to make a motion for that.
Mm-hmm. We should.
Do we have an estimate on the cost?
Nine for the removal, and around $2,500 for the air quality testing, both before and after.
I'll make a motion that we proceed with that and take the money out of the building reserve account to do it.
And one more thing,
I think there's $74,000 in there.
$75,000.
So that will not be too big of a hit.
And I don't know why I missed this, but the other issue is the structural issues. They need to be done, at least have the engineer. I was going to call him, and then I realized I don't have that engineering report from Chris Hoppe, so I would think he would need to.
George's got it, and I've asked him several times.
Yeah, that needs to get going, because we need to give a report to the state saying that we're doing something about it. I can ask for a extension, but they have to have something that so that we can do it.
I'll call George again tomorrow.
Thank you.
There's a motion on the floor. I need a second.
Can I go over? Can motion to pay for the repairs to the library due to the burst pipe?
Yes.
Does that cover everything?
Asbestos abatement and air quality monitoring. Estimated to be 9,000 plus or minus and 2,500 plus or minus. Out of the building reserve account.
But is there enough in the building reserve account?
I guess the Doug is first.
75,000.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So Doug has got a motion?
Mm-hmm. I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Community Center report.
You want to take care of that?
Yes, I do.
Community Center report for April, submitted by Julia Veronese, Director. The center's been checked regularly during the month by myself and Mrs. Veronese. Programs, greener pathways, Cub Scouts, and Scout leaders use the center. Private parties were held on April 10th and 24th, so that would be rental revenue. Birdhouse building on April 9th was great. Everyone had fun and left with a birdhouse. And she thanked me because I was the lead instructor on that, and Monty Jennings was also helping me with that. There will be an additional birdhouse class provided for the Girl Scouts in May, which I will teach again. Jess Properall had a full class for pinch pot ceramics on April 18th. All participants completed an original ceramic pot. Jess taught the class, glazed and fired the ceramic pieces. Thanks to Jess for her expertise. We hope to have more ceramics classes soon. On April 23rd, the New York State Safe Boating class was taught by Julie Marinese and me. Participants came from Columbia, Dutchess, Green, and Ulster counties. Special thank you to the Philmont Rod and Gun Club for providing refreshments and a new inflatable life jacket for demonstration purposes. New program presenters are always welcome. Share your knowledge and your skills. She's always looking for people to run programs and teach and so on. If you're interested in that, contact Julie Veronese. And she has some pictures of the events at the bottom of the report.
Thank you.
Sure. For the month of April, we had 17 calls for service, two arrests, issued 17 UTTs, gave out 29 VT warnings, and 79 property checks. Completed the workplace violence training along with sexual harassment training. We will have one more class on that in case there are anyone, but it will be an evening class, probably going to be the first Monday in June, and we'll confirm that. So if there is anyone that missed that, they can attend that, and it'll be here at the Village Hall.
Do we have a list of people that
we have the sign-in sign-in sheets of everyone that attended? So if there's anyone that was on vacation or couldn't attend one of the two that the classes that were taught.
Mostly everybody covered. Double.
Yeah.
First Monday in June?
First Monday in June.
7 o'clock.
7 p.m.
Is that part of your guys' meeting?
Yeah.
All right.
Ms. Baker.
Good evening, everybody. Okay, so we attended the BOA standing meeting with Mayor Johnson and Trustee Ostrander for the BOA grant committee, and Barbara Segal, the chair of the Economic Fleet Watershed Management Plan, could not attend that meeting. So the BOA grant updates are doing really well, they're on schedule. So PBA has started to draft the request for proposals with the scope of work to identify the identified in the work plan for the BOA grant funding. Anybody can go online, Village website, PBA website, pull down this, the work plan and see that scope of work. I reported that the turnout for the DOT survey event for the Heritage Working Group outside the post office that Sean Jennings and I did was really good. It was really fun. People were incredibly pleased to be able to walk up, ask questions about the historic survey, participate in the DOT survey. And all in all, it appears to both Sean Jennings and I and the Heritage Working Group that this is actually a really good way of doing a community census outreach. And so we're going to be doing more of these. We're going to have our deck chairs, we're going to have the DOT survey, and we'll keep doing it over the 18 months as we slowly move towards gathering consensus in the community that's going to be required to do the nomination of the survey for the historic district. I reported to the committee, the borough committee, that we were on time. In fact, we were 10 days early in submitting the grant that was written for the Preserve New York, which hopefully will be awarded so that we have the fees to hire the consultant to start the nomination work for the Village of Philmont Historic District. I reported that, I reported that PBN were very good to has put a very good team together to assist the new property owner of 56 Main Street on the corner there, Hopkins House, Hilltop Hotel, the former names of that, to advise the property owner on the use of historic preservation tax credits to assist with the rehabilitation of that property. That's going really well. We brought in a preservation specialist, we brought in historic tax credit accountant, you know, specialist in that area. We brought in SHPO, the State Office of Preservation, and we've also brought in Parks. And so we had a really fun meeting there, walked all over that building, and that's proceeding very nicely. And then the updates on the LWRP, local waterfront revitalization program, Local Watershed Revitalization Program. Up on your website, you have it as LATE. So if you could correct it to the right state grant name, it would be awesome. Local Water, you've got it up as LATE, Lake Waterfront. Okay, so that'd be awesome. So I reported that we have started to draft that request for proposals for the scope of work identified in that work plan, which is also available on both the PBA and Kent Village website. And that RFP will take about 3 months to go through the process because it has to go back and forth to the DOS and for Brian and Lara to have a look at, and finally arrive at the village board probably around end of July for on target for you guys to have a look at. And that's going to be aimed at hiring that consultant to actually do the work in the watershed and write the watershed management plan with the advisory committee. And reported that held the fifth watershed advisory committee meeting on May 4th with the towns of Pavrac, Ghent, Hillsdale and Austral. Awesome. Great meeting. You know, do come, Larry, if you can make it. It's really good. We're all working really well together, and everybody's in concert. That's it. Good month.
Thank you. DPW and water report. I'll give that. David's not here. They did garbage and recycling. They had a cleanup day on 5/7. They received some pipe for Lower Ark Street project. Dan and the ball put the flower pots out. They did that training at the office too. They've been mowing and trimmed, and they got rid of the sanders. Thank God. Water report, they had an inspection, everything went well. Doug was there. Took all the samples, everything passed. Repaired a few meters. They had a water leak on 217, which was fixed. They've been helping the guys down finish up the inspection or the disinfection station down at the plant. And they started to repair that broken hydrant that the truck ran over on Summit Street. Oh, One thing I forgot under DPW, they're gonna pick brush up on Mondays in May.
Yes.
So if anybody's got brush, what do you want them to do, just leave it out by the road?
Yeah, just leave it out by the curb, and so yeah, it's very clear that he wants to pick it up.
Yeah.
Every Monday?
Every Monday in May.
Yep.
Okay.
Sticks, twigs?
Yep, stick, twigs, no piles of leaves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no leaves?
It becomes very messy.
Okay.
I mean, it's some leaves, you know, if they're like within, but like if it's just a raw pile of leaves.
We don't have the leaf around, so.
Yeah.
We can only chip.
Okay.
Mayor's report. The first thing I'd like to do is thank the McNans for taking care of that elderly woman on their hill during that fire. There was a lady that was stranded. Doug and I had to wait around for a while. It was Easter Sunday. We contacted DSS and she was one of their clients. Doug and I waited for her to go into the ambulance so she would be picked up by them and tended to. Doug and I also that day opened up the community center. Two people stopped up basically just for advice, but we didn't have any. There was nobody there that wanted to stay there. Everybody was had someplace to go that night, so we were all good with that. I also did the insurance meeting with Trish and Jessica. And we've been having a lot of meetings, short-term rental meetings, workshop meetings. We do meet more often than we used to. I would say we're together at least 3 times a month, if not 4. Seems to be working. We seem to be getting some stuff done, so I'm happy with that. And again, I want to welcome Jessica to our little village. Doug?
Okay. Like Brian said, I worked with him and we made sure everyone had a place to go during that fire. I'm happy that everything turned out okay in the end. I did the evaluations that I had to do for my department. I went to the CEDC meeting, Columbia Economic Development Council. That was interesting. Got to meet some people who were running for office, but also heard about the advancements that are planned for Columbia County. And so I also talked to a few people who may be able to help come out with some of our initiatives. I left all that information in the other room. Took the required trainings, and also I was there, as was mentioned before, when DEC came down and inspected all the paperwork and all the operations of the sewer plants. I was there for that, and everything seemed to be in order. They passed the point of order. That's it.
Thanks.
Larry?
I reached out to Club Supervisor Weigel, asking him about the sidewalk program to connect Philmont to the Clarvick Park. He said they had the money, but it has not been released yet. So it's been approved, but they don't have the funding available to do the project, but they do plan on doing the project. Attended all meetings, as everybody has mentioned. Received some correspondence from village residents about short-term rental. Gave them my opinion, listened to their opinion, told them we're gonna have a public meeting, a law, so that they could all attend. And that's about it. I do have some questions, but I'll bring them up under new business about the Fireman's Convention and use of the village green.
Cooper?
I attended the special meeting, the short-term rental meeting, as well as the workplace trainings. I also have been in communication about the comprehensive plan committee with the appointed chair, and also with Nan Stolzenberg and Patterns for Progress, and that's moving forward and very exciting. And then I have been in communication with Claverex Climate Smart Community Chair and have posted on the website the Solarize Claverack program, which is available to all Philmont residents who would like to opt into using renewable energy for their electric. And information about that is up on our website. And I've done other regular updates for the website on planning, zoning board meetings, etc.
Thank you. You can give the fire department report now.
Sure.
Chief's report submitted by Chief Mark Beaumont, May 4th, 2022. Calls for the month were 22. I'm not going to read them all. We did have two structure fires, one in the village, one outside the village. A lot of brush fires, a large brush fire down in Taconic, covered 30 acres, I believe. Total calls for the year, 38. Fire calls for the year, 38. EMS calls for the year, 39. Total calls, 77. We had three drills for the month, one truck inspection, one work detail. The fire company attended the funeral services for member William Blau on April 12th. We hosted the Columbia County Firemen's Quarterly Meeting on April 13th. Resumed concession stand for the Taconic Hills Little League. We gave out the Vern Hagen Scholarship Award on May 7th for Dollars for Scholars, and all that money is raised through our sub night on Friday night. And the county is going to offer a free firefighter physical again. They're going to resume on May 6th. And we have hose and ladder testing on May 17th, where we test all the hoses to make sure they withstand the pressures required. And that's it.
Before I get into motions and resolutions, do you need anything for Memorial Day from us?
Myself?
From us.
I just did stop in, talk to your village clerk and the PA system. And they said I could stop in. Actually, I'm going to pick it up next week, so I have it with me.
Didn't we have trouble with that last year?
That was not ours. Ours is good.
Okay.
Well, last year you didn't use ours.
No.
And that, the village's is good. Right. Unless mice got into it over the winter.
We might want
last time I had it out, it worked fine.
That's why I want to get it and, you know, test it out.
Yeah, so if you need any help hooking it up, I know how to do that.
Okay, that would be Monday, that Monday morning, that would be great.
That's good, you can hook it up July 30th too for the Fireman's Convention.
The town of Clark will bring out the flow that they usually, Louie will bring that out.
Okay.
Main Street. Parade lineup is Maple Avenue down. No school band, only a drum line.
Sure.
Speaker is last name is May. May. He's a member of the gun club. Steve May is the speaker.
Great. Alrighty. Motions and resolutions.
The first one. Motion to enforce the water turnoff law and take action against delinquent water uses made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the contractor's application for payment number 3 payable to MCJ Construction LLC. In the amount of $56,050 for work at the Village of Philmont Wastewater Treatment Plant, made by?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to credit account 2500 Darnell Harris in the amount of $107.10 due to a meter reading error, made by?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
To deem the transmission repair to the street sweeper emergency repair and pay JR Transmission the amount of $7,010 for the work associated with the repair, made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
To transfer the amount of $23,000 from sewer fund checking to the general fund savings to replace the amount originally transferred on August 6, 2021 to pay Leggett invoice for the grant made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
To move funds between budget lines as per the recommendation of the village accountant made by.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Do you want any clarification on that, or are you good?
We're good.
Okay. To appoint Robin Andrews as a chairperson of the comprehensive plan committee made by.
I'd like to make that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Unfinished business.
Can I ask for a clarification? Nabal, I want to put up something on the website about the pickup that, and so it's, is there a particular time on Monday?
In terms of.
Like, when will the chipper be coming around?
Oh, I do not think that we are doing that, depending on the size. If it's like a bunch of logs, then we'll take the chipper around. But so far, we've just been dropping it off over at BJ's, which is right off of, I believe that's still Roxbury.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's, what should I tell people? Like, brush, there's brush?
Monday's brush day.
Yeah, Monday is brush day.
Okay, and so it's, you're coming by in the morning, put it out Sunday night?
Well, yeah, they ride around the village and they pick it up and see it.
Most convenient, instead of having to go out twice in one day.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Another question I had was, in Leheim's report, it says that Monty doesn't report to him, so he has nothing to report about complaints. Should Monty submit a report directly to the board, or should Monty report to him? Is there a way we can get some information?
I'll have to have Monty do a report, because they don't work the same day.
Yeah, I had the same thought.
That doesn't sound like Lee wants to have anything to do with Monty either.
And your correspondence list in here is actually shorter than ours, so if you need an updated one.
Oh, no.
The other question is, someone had mentioned that there's a building that has a plywood on a broken window, and they were asking if that is up to code. And I didn't know what to say about that.
Plywood on a broken window?
Yeah.
It is.
It's up to, that's the code, okay.
Unfinished business. We have a title for that fire truck now, can we get rid of it? Did you talk to the chief about that?
Not yet.
All right, we need to do that, because that thing is.
Where is it?
It's down in the warehouse.
On Elm?
Yes, let's get rid of it.
So DPW's not gonna deal with it?
I haven't heard anything about it, I'm not gonna let it sit around and build.
No, it'll just disintegrate.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Can we get it, or, how do we get in there to start it once in a while to keep it going?
There's a key in the village office for the warehouse.
So Doug and I can get it.
Yeah.
So Chrissy can put it on Auctions International?
Yes. Get it going.
Yeah. Does that need to come from chief, do we need to send?
The thing is that Chrissy's gonna need us to write that up, and I don't know enough about fire trucks to write.
It's gonna have to come from chief, he's got all the specs on it.
Okay.
Can we send Mark a request to give us the specs on the truck and give it to Chrissy so we can put it out for auction?
And I do believe he also left the binder on, so I can show you where that is before I go.
Did we make a motion to declare that surplus?
Yeah.
Okay.
We already did that, right?
Yes.
Just checking.
It was quite a few months ago, yeah.
Yeah, we just got the title the other day.
I saw from the fire report that the 7-0 is gonna be deemed surplus too.
Yeah, I think so, I, I haven't heard that officially, so have we voted on it?
Well, what I'm thinking is to be proactive, maybe we should have Jessica to start looking for that title.
True.
So that if we do get rid of it, it's an old court.
That's a good thought, yeah, because how long did it take to find out?
Yeah.
Well, there was never a title they had to send away for a new one.
Yeah.
That's what took so long.
That court is new enough, I think, to have a title.
So speaking of which, do we know where the title is to the 20 and to the 19 right now?
We should have them all.
Okay.
And I believe in our last check of all those files, we did have them all, that unfortunately that one, we did not. But it's, I can show you where they are, so just a check and make sure that they're all good.
Anybody got anything else that's unfinished?
Should we talk about the recycling?
New business.
That's new business, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
New business.
So the fire convention is July 28th, 29th, and 30th. We had originally put in to have the three days and three nights down at the Clover Park, but the secretary did not include Thursday night, and the Clover Park has music, and you know, they have their concerts Thursday night, so that left us without a venue. So we would like to put a tent on the Village Green Thursday night between 6 and 9:30. We have Donnie Elvis coming for entertainment. It's limited, it's not open to village residents unless you are in the fire company, but it's basically a ladies appreciation night. Auxiliary support members and lady firefighters. It'll be just one night there. I didn't know if we were allowed to put a tent there, but I'm asking for the use of that and to allow us to put a tent there.
Well, it's village property.
Right.
No problem.
I don't have a problem.
Okay. I didn't know what restrictions were there or not. And also on July 30th, can we park fire apparatus in Memorial Field out in the outfield if we have overflow from the Clark Park? We'll arrange for shuttle with Mike Johnson's blessing to bring people from there back and forth. But just anticipating in case we cannot fit all the apparatus down there with all the parking for the day, that we can use Memorial Field out to park vehicles.
Unless there's like 7 inches of rain the night before.
Right. Okay, I don't want to just do this, you know, the day of and not have permission to do it. So.
No, I would say do it.
Yeah.
It's all clean now.
Yeah. And the last thing is, can we use the PA system Saturday?
Yeah,
that's okay. Perfect. That was easy.
So, maybe Deborah knows. I'm not on the community day committee. What's going on? Are fireworks happening, or is it part of the fire company thing?
They met once, and I don't know. I'll have more information next time.
Who's in charge
next
of that?
Fire's the head person.
Yeah.
Rumor has it, we were told that there is no community day this year because we're doing our thing. And they got together too late and COVID and all. So I.
In which case, the money would just roll over to next year.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
No, that wasn't the plan.
Pardon me?
That wasn't the plan. 3 months ago, Dave said it was here. You authorized for the money to go for fireworks.
Right.
He said at that time that there would be no community day as such, but that they were planning to do the fireworks.
Okay, well,
that was 3 months ago.
I guess that's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, you voted yes? You motioned?
We did, but we don't know if they're going to go through with it or not.
I don't know if they did any fundraising to get the other half of the money. Because the amount that the village kicks in is generally about half of the cost of the fireworks.
Right.
So I'll investigate and let you know.
I don't think they were ever intending, though, to do so. It's not a question of your advantages in the council. They never intended to do it for today.
It's
how I heard it, like, in that board meeting.
The fireworks ought to happen because there's more village residents in one spot that day than there is any other day of the year. Everybody likes that. Well, technically, 90% of the people like the fireworks. So I'll talk to David in the morning to make sure that that's going to happen. Was there, there's no conflict with your thing, right?
As long as they don't do it on July 30th, but we're going to be at the Clover Park, so. But they're going to need, they would need fire apparatus up there to wet down, so. If we're all down there, it's going to be hard to be up there, so.
Or do Community Day a different day.
Right.
I mean, we can do the fireworks anytime. If that's all we're having is fireworks, but we ought to at least have fireworks this summer.
When is your event, July?
July 30th.
Okay, yeah, it's usually before then.
So I'll.
He'll have to talk to Devin.
Yeah.
Get something going.
All right. Any more new business?
Recycle, actually, I have a question about the, what you were talking about in terms of the, town hall, the, that's being redesigned. Wondering if it makes sense for a representative from Philmont to be, at those meetings since, we stand, there will probably be some sort of public, space, being included in that, where there's questions of whether that will be, and some also some historic information about the mill down there that could dovetail with the historic, the work that is being done here on, you know, the historic signage and stuff like that. So I'm just wondering if it makes sense for us to have some kind of regular presence and a representative.
Do they have a site for this?
Are you going to put it in the same spot the garage is now?
Oh, they're going to tear that down?
Yeah. They haven't asked us for a representative, and I think they've got a big enough committee. If you want to go as a private citizen, I'm good with that. But, you know, until they ask us for a representative, I don't think it's any of our business, actually.
Yeah, as far as I know, they just gotten the property surveyed. They haven't really gotten anything off the ground yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, because residents have been asking at their meetings as well. So,
yeah.
They're doing their preliminary due diligence and trying to figure out what the site could support and what's there.
Yeah.
So they're gonna shut down their current town office.
It's already shut down.
It's already shut down.
Yeah, they're using the old Claverick Library as a temporary court and meeting space now.
Yeah.
Because the Seagraves is coming back home.
So we got to find a home for that.
Oh, they're going to put it next to, hopefully the blue one goes in short order so we can put it in there. But.
You know, maybe I'll go just as a citizen, but I think there might be some opportunities for assisting or you know, helping in ways that there could be some synergy that could be beneficial to Philmont and to Claverack, you know, as a potential shared visioning for that, since it's so close. And no doubt, you know, Philmont residents are part of the town.
I have a question for Larry on the sidewalk issue you talked to Kip about.
Yes.
I mean, most of that project, 90% of it's in Claverick and not in the village.
Correct.
It's for our resident safety.
Correct.
Does Kippy want us to rattle any cages in Albany, or did he ask for help?
He did not, and I don't think they even have a date planned yet when they're going to start digging on, you know.
Philmont's portion of that project is to run the water line down there.
Yeah,
they're going to put a new water line.
They're going to use our water and sewer.
And a little bit of the sidewalk would be in the village. But
yeah, but that's.
I'm just asking if he needs support or wants, like, the mayor or me to call. You know, I can call Daphne, or I don't know where the money's coming from.
Yeah. I'll ask him.
Okay. If he wants, he can call me if he wants me to.
Anything he needs, but we are contributing to that.
Yes. So, like, shared services.
Yes.
Yes.
we are putting in the water. We're doing the water work, and he's doing the sidewalks.
That's been a long time we've been trying to get that to happen.
Yeah.
That's down Church Street?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they gonna, are they putting sewer into the park then too?
I don't know what, I don't know what's happening with that specifically. I just know that we're doing it. Whatever they need, we're doing as far as water is where we go. New business as far as recycling goes. Garbage stickers are gonna go up this year to $4, and we're gonna start charging for recyclables. There's still a question on how we're gonna receive the recyclables. So you're here tonight to tell me why?
Well, I was just asked to come here to maybe serve as just as advisor as to how to pragmatically execute this, so that there's no confusion among the public and the DPW who then carries out that service. It was discussed that perhaps maybe there is a some sort of bagging system for recycling, but that has since been called off because of I guess the nature of the recycling, but and how it gets sorted. But the fundamental thing about it all, which I'm sure everyone is aware of, is that there really is no place to receive recycling. There's China, India, places where we used to export them all, don't actually accept it anymore. And I think it would serve the community better to just be honest, but I don't know how that would actually play out in the court of public opinion, whether people are willing to give up recycling or not. But another thing that was tossed, an idea that was tossed between Daniel Davis and myself was doing away with the half sticker and putting a whole sticker on a 35-gallon bag, and then two stickers on a black bag. And because the thing is how to charge for the recycling, how are we going to collect it? How in such a way that we can hold it into account?
The last idea that was floated was we were going to have another different color sticker that you were going to put on one of the recyclables in your bin. So, and that particular piece would be on top.
Yes.
So then that is recycled. We cannot not recycle. We have to recycle. It's a law.
It's okay. Interesting. All right.
Yes. We have to recycle. No matter, that's why we have to charge for them, because we're losing money on them.
Yes.
It's costing us money to recycle.
Yes, this is.
So now we have to throw that back at the taxpayers. So Jason's been working on it. He's got it now that the garbage is going to be $4, the recycling is going to be $2. And the idea that I liked was the different color sticker in the bins. I don't like the idea of the bags because they're cumbersome. You can't store them.
Yes.
People have trouble getting them. At least the stickers, we can give some to McMahon's, and they can pick them up here during the week. That was the most popular idea at this point.
Yes.
The bags, also people might put other things that are recyclable. The other thing that I thought about with putting a sticker on an item on the top of the bin, there's a lot of people around here who don't follow the rules, and you know, let's say we're walking down Main Street and there's all these bins.
They'll go out and steal.
I'll just take a milk jug with a sticker on it and go throw it on my pile. I mean, I'm wondering if we shouldn't just charge $5 for garbage and keep recycling free. And see how the money works out after a year.
Huh.
I agree with you, Doug, because I can just see now is like the calls that would come in with the one sticker on one item going from somebody's recycle bin to somebody else's, somebody kind of walking through and taking all the single items out. But wholeheartedly, that would be,
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
On Hazel Avenue, somebody puts
the stickers go in the bags, they can't pull them off and reuse them because it'll destroy the bag. But what you may want to do is come up with some type of a recycling paper bag that the village sells. And people can put their recyclables in those particular bags. Now you're limiting the size of the bag. You can price it accordingly, and that may help.
It can't be, it's got to be something clear, because if the recycling's not clean, it's garbage.
Yeah.
It's got to be clean. And we got to be able to see it.
Yes.
But then film bags are not acceptable to be recycled with the other things. They have to be separate. So somebody, if Naval took all these bags, so Canaan, is that where you take them?
Yes, currently.
The Canaan, and then they'd have to dump everything out of those bags and then recycle the bags separately.
So what if the sticker's on the bin?
Well, so the problem with that is people have the same bin.
All right, how do you take the sticker off?
And then how do you take the sticker off, and how do you account for what was 2 weeks ago?
You'd have to have, a different color sticker.
I think what we should do, we're not ready to do anything yet, but I think what we should do is we should try it with the sticker on the top of the, and if we find it that the people are stealing them, well, then we'll have to change something else. I find it hard to believe that somebody's going to go around and pick all those stickers off.
I don't.
Then they've got way too much time on their hands.
I thought it was going to be the fun. Are you kidding me?
They've got way too much time on their hands.
Naval, were you saying, was your recommendation, you were saying you made a request that we went from half stickers to one whole sticker on the small bags and two on the big bag.
And
is that because it's hard to...
Well, I just think it would be a temporary solution till we can kind of figure out something. It is an evolution off of a system that we already have in place. There would be no more investment into getting different color stickers right now. It is just a slight switch in the rule versus a whole new means of process to then inform the public and have them follow through on these guidelines that we would have to then enforce. It was just a suggestion that was just tossed recently between
And that was
myself.
Before he knew that we couldn't not recycle.
Gotcha.
We have to recycle.
But then essentially that would make the price of each bag go up. And we can maybe then keep recycling free. But that was just a spitball.
That's what I said. What if we just charge $5 a bag instead of $3? And then let it run a year, and then you guys would run the numbers and see where we are.
That idea also seems pretty appetizing.
That'd be easiest.
It is the easiest. It's an evolution off the system that we already have in play.
Yeah.
Instead of a whole different means that we then have to explain to the public.
I don't care how we do it, but we've got to stop losing money on it.
Yes,
recycling.
I agree.
So,
and that's not horrible, because now instead of $1.50 for a kitchen bag, it's $3 and $6 for a huge...
Which is an increase. I do not know if it will be enough, but it was just, like I said, a very quick idea that was tossed back and forth.
So how much time and how are we going to inform people? Because I don't want to go through a whole not shoveling your sidewalk thing and leaving garbage on the sidewalk.
If we just start charging more for the stickers, it's automatically taken care of.
Yeah.
So, I've got stickers that I haven't had to, you know, so it might take one or two rounds of not having their garbage picked up.
Yeah, the stickers people have in their possession.
So we keep the same color stickers.
Yeah. It's just like a stamp.
So this is Jason's deal. We'll bring this back to Jason at the next workshop or before that, and then we'll give him what we learned tonight, and then he can come up with something else. But something's going to happen by July.
July 1? Thinking July 1?
Yeah, something's got to happen by then, because we got to stop bleeding money out of the recyclables.
Yeah.
Well, how much are we bleeding? Do you have numbers?
We'd have to look into them, but we can certainly create them.
We'd want to probably have those numbers, right?
Well, Jason's got them all.
He's already got them.
He had them all on that cardboard.
Right, which is actually in the office.
Okay. I didn't know he had them.
Jason's all over this.
We looked at them when we did the budget with Rob, and that's how we identified that we were losing money on the garbage, and we kind of came up with an idea of how much we need to charge per bag. You know, it's basically double.
Right.
because that's how much that the wages didn't offset what we were taking in, and it should be a break even department.
And the cost of gas and repairs for the truck and.
Right.
And just the tipping fees alone were.
Right.
Considerably.
Yes.
And now that we're being charged for recyclables, it's we're really taking it in the shorts.
Yeah. All right, no more new business? Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
We're done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Good night, Philmont.